You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 45, Orlando and More. This episode is all Orlando and Florida from my vacation this last week. 9 days, 8 nights in Orlando. So, for the most part, there's not going to be any detailed show notes except for my rant and my shameless plugs this week. So it's just me openly discussing everything I did in Orlando, Florida, and the surrounding areas. So with that, let's start the news. Disney World. I had been to Disney World before. My first time there was in 2007, late November, early December. Did all four parks, which is Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Disney Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. So this year, it was my wife and I, my daughter, and my wife's granddaughter, who turns 12 this next week. So it was my daughter's and her granddaughter's first time at Disney World this trip. So it was nice to see, to walk around to the different parks through the eyes of two people, one kid and one young adult that had never been there before. So it was very fun. We started things off at Magic Kingdom. We flew in on a Sunday and didn't really do anything. It was day travel and all that kind of stuff. Monday was our first day at Disney World. We Magic Kingdom. It rained. We weren't expecting rain. We had a couple cold days. Tuesday was a cold day, Wednesday a little warmed up a little bit more, and so as the weekend got closer, it started to warm up a little bit. But, they have a new ride at Magic Kingdom, the Snow White Mine Train, or the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, whatever you want to call it. It's a high-speed train. It's very much like the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and it was pretty cool, except it rained while we were on the ride. And so it poured rain before we got on the ride. And while we were in the line queue, we dried off as much as we could. So, and then once we got off the ride, we were soaked again because it rained while we were on the ride. And right before, at the end of the ride, it stops. And so you sit there for, at least a minute and a half or so, and it was just pouring rain, and we just got soaked again. So, we took the rest of the evening to dry off. The park was only open, till 7 that night, maybe. So, anyway, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We did Epcot and Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom. We did Animal Kingdom on Wednesday of that week. Animal Kingdom is only open till 5 p.m. Most of it is because it's colder, and even in Orlando it's colder, and so it was kind of chilly that day too. Walking around, we had our coats on and everything, and really didn't take our coats off. My favorite part of Animal Kingdom, the safari was good. But I love Expedition Everest. I love that ride. It's my favorite ride in all of Disney World. And my daughter and my wife's granddaughter, all three of us, rode the ride 5 times in a row. The wait time was less than 5 minutes. And so as soon as we got off, we got back in line, got back in the queue, and rode the ride again. I love that ride for many reasons. But one of the coolest parts is that you go backwards. And when you go backwards, there's a point in that going backwards where the G-force, it feels cool. It's hard to explain. Those of you that have ridden the ride know what I'm talking about. So you get to that point where, you go up, the track is quote-unquote broken. The Yeti has ripped apart the track. I'm trying not to spoil the ride too much. But then you go backwards through part of the ride, and part of it's in the dark, so you don't really see where you're going. And you get to that part, and it's just, I laugh my ass off. It is so, it's just a cool experience to have that. So We spent a lot of time going back and forth between Epcot and Magic Kingdom. So, like, the parks would close during the day. So, like, you know, Animal Kingdom closed at 5 p.m. that night on Wednesday. And so then we went to Epcot and spent time there until it closed at 9. And then when Magic Kingdom was open till midnight on Saturday and Sunday, we went there and spent as much time as we could there. I mean, so I walked a lot. You know, I tracked my steps via Fitbit. I averaged 19,000 steps a day. You know, oh, man. I mean, some days I got over 20,000 steps, 24,000 steps. So it was kind of cool, but oh my God, my feet hurt. It was just insane. So and then Hollywood Studios, we did that, and it was fun. That's where they have like Tower of Terror. They have the Rock and Roller Coaster, the Aerosmith ride. They have Star Tours there. They have the Toy Story Midway Mania, which is a really fun ride, extremely long, although we only had to wait 45 minutes to get on the ride instead of the posted 95 minutes. So very happy about that. So there's a lot of, you know, all four parks are just really cool. We did Hollywood Studios for like an hour one night and rode Tower of Terror and Star Tours, and then on Sunday we did it proper, where we spent pretty much most of the day there and then ended up at Magic Kingdom. So it was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed ourselves. You know, for the most part, we took we took the hotel shuttle, which only had two trips in the morning and one trip at night. So, you know, if we wanted to get there, we had to get up at get up and catch up by 8:30, and then go from there to Epcot, and then you take the monorail from Epcot to Magic Kingdom if you want to go there, or you take a bus to Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios. So, but then, you know, as the week went on, we ended up driving. But you know, the bus did help save us $17 a day in parking. So, you know, we paid 3 days of parking, but we saved on 3 days too. So, because we had the 6 day park hopper pass. So, it was nice. I really enjoyed Disney World. You really have to enjoy walking around in crowds. Weather-wise, you know, there's a lot of, different changes, especially in November. You know, it's kind of the colder season, but, you know, by the time we left and flew, you know, before our flight flew back on this last Monday here, it was 84 degrees. So, you know, we did have some warmer days. So it was nice. So if you've never been to Disney World and you have any kids, plan it. It's not cheap, you know. Plan to spend, it's hard to really get things minimal, you know, between hotel and park passes and food and transportation and everything. You know, things add up, you know. I mean, you know, it's on the average, you're going to spend about $250 a day per person going as long as we did, which was the 9 days. So, but that also included Universal Studios, which I will segue into now. So Universal Studios is not too far from Disney World. I don't know what, 10, no, not even 10, maybe 8 miles or something like that. They have two parks, Universal Studios, and then another called Islands of Adventure. So those two parks are broken out. Like Universal Studios has the Simpsons ride, the Mummy ride, Men in Black, the Jaws experience. They also have a Harry Potter park, which is called Diagon Alley. And so that part is new to Universal Studios. Islands of Adventure is more thrill rides like the Hulk and Spider-Man. And then they have Jurassic Park. And then they also have a Harry Potter park called Hogsmeade. And so between those two Harry Potter parks, they have a few rides. They've recreated everything. It absolutely did an incredible job on the recreation of everything. This week's rant goes into more detail about one piece of the Harry Potter parks, the Hogwarts Express train, which we did not ride, and my rant will explain why. But Universal Studios fun, you know, the Simpsons ride we rode. We did, so our pass is only, we could only do one park per day. We couldn't park hop. We didn't have that option. Again, part of my rant. So the I really enjoyed walking around those two parks. I like the Hulk ride. It's has five upside downs, one of which is a corkscrew. It's really fast. It's pretty cool. The Spider-Man ride is cool. It's an interactive 3D type ride where you put 3D glasses on. Jurassic Park ride's fun, has a big drop at the end. That's not a spoiler. Everyone kind of already knows that that's been to this park. So fun, you know, fun days. You know, the both parks are good. You know, they have different, you know, like I said, different rides, different experiences. It's, you know, I don't like, they have a rock and roll coaster that my daughter went on and absolutely loved it, even though the ride was kind of long. I rode it last time we were there in 2009, and I didn't like it. You go straight up really slow at the beginning of the ride on your back. My fear of heights, yeah. Not really a fan of that. So anyway, so it was fun. So I enjoyed it, and the girls had never been there before, so it was very cool to experience that. Two of the days, Tuesday, which was the coldest day with a high of 54, we went to Kennedy Space Center, where they have the Atlantis shuttle on display, and they have a bus tour that takes you out to another part where they have the rocket launch from Apollo 13. You know, it was really cool, to experience all that. I had no idea how in depth they would go. You know, they have a visitor center, but then they have a bus ride that takes you, you know, 3 or 4 miles away and goes to visit, you know, a couple of the launch sites, and you drive by the large buildings where they house and build rockets. My history. So, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know, the space age, essentially. I mean, every single Apollo mission, I was a kid, and I watched on TV, or I read about it in school, or I learned about it in, you know, different, you know, history lessons and things like that. I mean, so I lived through each one of those, you know, from the late 60s to the end of 72, when Apollo 17 was the last mission to Mars. It was, you know, it was cool to see all that history of things that I had lived through. So, and then on Friday, we went, drove out to Daytona Beach. I had been there before. It's about an hour, a little more than an hour drive from Orlando. And so it was fun. It was a good time. Very windy. You know, November, you know, is kind of the cold season for you know, Central Florida. But it was fun. My daughter and my wife's granddaughter had never been into the Atlantic Ocean, so it was fun. They actually got to experience that, and I was very happy for them. You know, even though the wind was bad, it was at least it wasn't freezing cold, you know. So, yeah, so in a nutshell, that was my Orlando trip. This week's rant. Restricting access to Hogwarts Express train requires park-to-park pass upgrades. So we purchased our Disney and Universal passes from our timeshare ticketing, and we got some good discounts on them. The Universal Studios passes we got were 2-day, 2-park with a free third day, which we didn't use. So we didn't get the park hopper option, which limited us to spending 1 day per park. So in other words, 1 day we went to Islands of Adventure, and another day we went to Universal Studios. We didn't find out how limited this was when we went to ride the Hogwarts Express train. So this train goes between Hogsmeade at Islands of Adventure and Diagon Alley at Universal Studios. So both of those Harry Potter lands. So we were able to visit both Harry Potter lands, but the train would have made it nice to go back and forth. And the train, from what we understand, is a cool experience. Well, we couldn't board the train because our passes said not valid for Hogwarts Express. So to upgrade our tickets to the Park Hopper, $44 per ticket. Yeah, crazy. So that would have been almost $170 total for all four of us to ride the train. Kind of expensive train ride, even on any train for that matter. You know, so to limit a feature like this to those only tickets with park hopper option is just, in my opinion, just plain greedy. You know, I get why they did it because they're you know, both parks are, you know, both Harry Potter lands are in two different parks. But, you know, don't limit it. You know, let people that don't have park hopper options ride the train and go just go round trip, you know. But, you know, so Harry Potter fans were disappointed. But so it would have been nice if we would have been told this before we purchased to see if we could have added it at a cheaper price when we originally bought our tickets. This week's shameless plug, World Showcase at Epcot. So this was my third time visiting Epcot. First time in 2007, and last time was in 2009, and now this last week. It is my favorite park of the four Disney World theme parks. So it's separated into two parts, Future World and World Showcase. So Future World has rides like Test Track, Soarin', Mission Space, Finding Nemo, Universe of Energy. World Showcase contains small versions of countries, which they call pavilions, like Mexico, Norway, Italy, China, Japan, United Kingdom, Germany, and Canada. So I'm sure I'm leaving out a couple in there, but Morocco is in there as well. I love walking around and seeing how well-cultured each pavilion is set up. I mean, they have gift shops that have items from that country. The employees that work in each pavilion do one-year internships and are native from each country that they represent. So when you visit the Japan pavilion, the employees are from Japan. Pretty cool. I mean, Disney really recreates this whole thing. Each pavilion also serves various alcoholic drinks, adult beverages from each country. So they have this thing called Drink Around the World, which, you know, it's not an official Disney-sanctioned thing, obviously, but, you know, people have done it where you have a drink in each country. Well, it was our last day, and we did, you know, and it was nice. It was 84 degrees while we walked around World Showcase. So I ended up having six drinks. You know, I had a margarita in Mexico. I had a limoncello and tequila in Italy. I had my daughter and I did a sake flight in Japan. And I had a beer in Germany. So, there was a few other drinks thrown in there as well, too. So I did a shot of Baron Jaeger, which is a honey. And they have a mix of honey and bourbon. It was actually quite tasty. So, you know, I can't wait to go back again, although I really don't want it to be 5 years between visits. I hope it's much sooner. The happiest place on the East Coast. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.